In the Moment on SDPB is supported by the South Dakota Humanities Council, presenting the South Dakota Festival of Books, September 20th through 22nd in Brookings.
So much music, so much summer. From SDPB, today is Friday, September 13th. This is In the Moment. Coming up this hour, we are not releasing our grip on summer in South Dakota just yet. We tune in for live music that wraps the outdoor festival season. First up, Clayton Ryan has a new album where he falls in love, calls for help, and lives on mountain time. He's on his way to the Queen City Songwriters Invitational in the Black Hills. Then Marcella Simeon closes out the Levitt concert season in Sioux Falls. We'll get to know an artist with a powerful voice and Creole jams. Plus, John Bakken plays jazz, folk, and classical. He has been archiving the state's music in a zine, and now it's a hardcover book. That's coming later in the hour. We're broadcasting today from SDPB's Kirby Family Studio in Sioux Falls. I'm Lori Walsh. You're In the Moment. News is first. You're listening to In the Moment on SDPB. I'm Lori Walsh. South Dakota singer-songwriter Clayton Ryan recently released his debut solo album. It's called Ghost Town. He's been touring and performing all over the Midwest. South Dakota references are woven into many of the tracks on his new album.
There was a lot of good talent Midwestern talent that went into this album. It's engineered and produced by my friend Isaac Levy and Michael Shines and Bennett V, just a dream team of folks up here in Minnesota that I had a bunch of options of what I was going to do with it. And I think I chose the best route. Just, I'm so happy with how it went. And we were able to do it with like a live band in a real setting. You know, it's not always the case these days. So I felt really blessed to be able to do this thing in real time. And right now, with what we're cooking up, just keeping that album out in front of people's eyes and ears and maybe starting to write another one, but there's so much work to do once an album is out. It's like, it's almost, that's where like the real work truly starts. You know, we did 9 months doing this thing in the studio, or it was about 7 months before, by the time it got out. And so now it's the real work of promoting it, making sure that deal gets in front of as many people that would enjoy it as possible.
Yeah, tell me about that in studio. We appreciate that maybe more after a few years of not being able to do it. What was, did you have to get back in a certain groove, or was it like old times?
Thankfully, my friends up here, the way that we just understand music together and the motivation and drive that we all share, it was pretty easy just to get on that saddle. 'Cause the last time I did that and recorded anything in that way was back in 2019, and that was back on my now the album I have that's now only on Bandcamp, my first one that I did under a different name. And so doing it this way was pretty easy with this group of folks to make it happen. Like I ended up showing up to the session, and we somehow let it slip past us to hire a bass player. And so thankfully, me having a background in bass, I was able to sit in last second, and thankfully knowing the songs, I was able to put some sort of bass work in there, and it ended up really making me more ingrained and baked into this album than I ever would have been had I not played bass on it too. So it just ended up being this really in-depth, involved process that I'm very, very glad we got to do that way.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about how You root the music and the album in South Dakota in a lot of ways. That's one of my favorite things. You know, You're on Mountain Time, for example. Tell me about that song.
Absolutely. I had a version of that song floating around my Google Drive that I started back in probably 2021 or so. And it just is so incredibly different from how it started out. But and even the way that I was playing it with my band back in South Dakota, it just completely changed too. We almost went from like a James Brown country song to like a David Bowie kind of country sound, and wanted to have a song that showcased, like, what's it like out in the Black Hills? Like, what's it like out in any mountainous area? To, you know, what's that lifestyle like? The whole album itself was written in South Dakota last year when I moved back from Los Angeles. And I think, yeah, Mountain Time might have been the only one that had existed in any form prior to last year. I think the rest of them all came out of last year. And then there was two of those songs, Wild Man. I think Wild Man, August LA, and maybe even Evergreen all came out of these songwrite a day things I was doing for about 60 days in 2023.
Yeah.
And so it was a mixture of different sourcing, yeah, different tributaries into that river.
Locked up, locked down. That's just a good country song.
That's one of those if you know, you know songs from my South Dakota experience. That one was based off of a fun little event from 2020 that finally got written about in 2023. And it's just a good song for everyone to holler about, I think, you know,
yeah.
Regardless of your situation.
I'm up in Meade County, they're asking for bail. State trooper made me dance, but my legs made me fail. I thought I had a little, but I must have had plenty, cause I'm facing 30 days.
And that's what I wanted to ask you about is that's the power of, you know, music, especially country, folk, rock music, that you can put things, whether it's your story or somebody else's story, that's all of our stories about hard times. And people resonate with that, of how we process things and go through things and then make light of things. And so talk a little bit for me about... like, when do you know a story needs to go into a song?
I'm very fortunate about the fact that the stuff I write is always from, like, a first-person perspective. And it's always just, honestly, like, the first step is getting it out just for myself. And then, thankfully, it happens to land with a lot of folks and resonate. And especially more recently, too, when I stopped trying to write for certain voices, or I stopped trying to write in a certain style or trying to sound like someone, really. And
yeah,
by surrendering from that and just starting to write things that way, I'd get them out of my head. It's become very clear that a lot of people maybe are looking for someone to say things kind of like maybe what I've been saying, or just trying to find some way to feel seen in that direction. And so thankfully, just me spilling out my songs and what's inside my brain, like some sort of unsolicited journal, just happens to resonate with a lot of folks. So I'm fortunate in that aspect.
Yeah, there's a long positive history of that in music, I think. Also, a lot of love in this album. There's some love stories.
It is a very binary album, in a sense, where it is definitely depraved and desolate heartbreak mixed with, like, some of the, like, cutest little sweet songs I think I've somehow been able to muster. Like, I mean, you go from, like, Ghost Town right at the beginning to ending on Evergreen, which is just, like, the most hopeful anyone can resonate at any age with, like, yeah, I want to find young love, like that sort of thing. So yeah, it definitely does span a very wide scope of human emotion, which I guess just summarizes, like, being a human, I suppose.
Yeah. Why does it matter that music comes from the Midwest?
As someone that spends a lot of time in Nashville and bounces back and forth to Los Angeles as well. I think that there's just as much valid and important music that's in the Midwest, and it just kind of gets looked over. I mean, there's plenty of icons from the Midwest for sure. I mean, even up here in Minnesota, we've got Prince and Trampled by Turtles, Bon Iver, like just all these artists that are just equally recognized on the scene. And I hope that with what I do, it gets to sort of highlight the stuff that happens here between, you know, New York and Nashville and Los Angeles, that there's actually as talented, if not better, writers that exist outside of those cities. And it's a big part of the country that is important and exists. And oftentimes I feel it gets maybe neglected when it comes to like the national scope, the national lens. And so it feels cool to be a part of that. And it's more maybe of an uphill battle than it might be to be in those cities. But I wouldn't imagine doing it any other way.
Yeah. There are some breakouts, some notable breakouts. Do you think that there's room for more?
Oh, absolutely. And as those cities get oversaturated, and with the way that social media and the internet works, and with the ways that it's accessible to everyone, and which means that there's more people now than ever flocking to big music cities. And of that percentage, you have X amount of people that are just doing it. They're just going to those cities to be famous. They don't maybe have like a specific way they want to do it, or maybe they don't have a voice. They just know, if I go to LA, if I go to Nashville, I can just be blanket famous with no goal. And in that sense, I think it does help
the industry maybe become so saturated in those areas that it starts looking outward and like, let's go
find people elsewhere. So maybe we don't have to sit through this TikTok influencer wave of people that now exist.
Yeah.
And maybe find something, you know, that isn't trying so hard, but is equally valid and talented, or better. I don't know. I'm biased, obviously, being from the Midwest, that I think the best talent lives here, and we're just all happy to be here and not have to maybe, you know, elbow our way through a sea of people that don't get it like maybe we do here in the Midwest. And I'll say it and die on that hill too, on a TV, on interview, whatever.
Do you feel like that one of the keys is, circling back to what you said before, you know, being yourself, finding your voice, being, you know, not trying to sound like someone else? And how do you do that?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I think recording yourself a whole bunch, whether it's just for at home demos or for if you're recording your shows, and just, I think artists should spend a lot of time like listening to themselves. And if you start noticing, you know, maybe like you're listening to one artist and you're starting to write like that artist and you're starting to sound like that artist, maybe it's time to pump the brakes a little bit. You know, I just realized that as much time as I spend thinking about my music and having other people tell me about it and just being really conscious of what I'm doing, helps avoid, you know, trying to fall too closely down one path. I think also one of my friends was telling me, because him and I were doing a song write together, and I wrote this song that I thought was pretty good. And he said to me, he's like, yeah, this song's great. Now say it how Clayton Ryan would say it. And so it's always a good practice for me to go back to a song and think like, okay, how do I replace this one generic word with something that's more specific to my life? And
realize that if it might not be a more relatable or general word, but it's actually more relatable to write something super specific, because then people know it's you. They know that you're telling that story from your perspective. And so little exercises like that of just saying like, how can I make something that people would like, but inject my specific lingo or my specific scenario or location or descriptors into it?
Yeah. I feel like we grow up always trying to downplay that part of where we're from for some reason. And now there's all these artists who are like saying, no, talk about it. Don't try to be something that you're not. I love that. Say it like Clayton Ryan would say that. Sing it like Clayton Ryan would sing it. I like that a lot. Yeah.
There absolutely is this thing in the Midwest that we all, you know, talk about, or maybe we don't talk about enough, where we would rather keep the peace than like share an honest piece of our mind.
Yeah.
And so, you know, as a little preface to maybe with the direction I'm going musically, I'm kind of tapping into that energy now of realizing like what are ways that growing up in the Midwest maybe altered my life, or like what are the ways that it's maybe, I don't want to say suppressed it, because like my life is great,
right?
But maybe ways that being in the Midwest does maybe stifle what we want to truly say, or maybe being from a small town, like what sort of angst and energy and those sorts of things might exist in a human being because of where you come from. So it's like the next album is definitely more of a spotlight of like, why am I the way I am? And are there things about me from the Midwest that I wish were different, and things that I like about it? And so the whole process now is to dive into exactly that concept and, you know, learn what would I have said differently now that I am who I am. If I could go back and be that 17-year-old in a small town in South Dakota, like what would I say now?
Clayton Ryan returns to South Dakota September 19th through the 21st. You can see him at the Queen City Songwriters Festival in Spearfish. Up next, we'll hear from Marcella Simeon before she closes out a summer of music at Leavitt at the Falls. You're in the Moment on SDPB. You're listening to In the Moment on SDPB. I'm Lori Walsh. We kicked off our summer of music with Terrence Simeon, and we round out the concert season with his daughter, Marcella Simeon. Marcella is a musical artist with a unique combination of Memphis soul and New Orleans funk, and she is closing out the Leavitt series this Saturday, September 14th. I'm getting a little melancholy or nostalgic or just plain old sad about outdoor concerts ending for the summer.
Me too.
Here in South Dakota, it will get cold and we'll take our music indoors. Tell me a little bit about this part of touring for you when, you know, you've been through a summer and you're at that September, October stage. What's it like for you to perform outside in these months?
You know, It's lovely. I mean, it's just as you know, being from the South, it's actually a welcome, you know, time when the leaves start changing, you know, colors. It's a cue that we, you know, we get a reprieve from the sometimes unbearable heat. So it's lovely. I think it's a beautiful time to come together and start thinking about. It's such a wonderful time to feel that sense of community as we enter the season of being closer together, you know, through the holidays and everything. So it's a really special time to gather and share in music. And
how do you think about that when you're on stage, that the people you're on stage with, you might be having an experience with, you're clearly thinking about a million technical things. Mm-hmm. Tapping into your artistry of the moment, but then all this stuff is happening in the audience that some of it you can't control, others of it are reflecting back up from the crowd toward you. Help me understand how all that creates a moment when we're all together at a live performance.
Gosh, it's such a gift. Like I have to pinch myself sometimes because it's such a true gift to have that perspective from the stage of being able to have some small part in bringing people together, because we live in a world that, you know, can feel very lonely a lot of the time. And it's really incredible when we're able to get out of the house and, you know, put something nice on and feel good about ourselves to go out, you know, and that alone can be a feat, you know, and so it's beautiful when we can all come together and share something, you know, because so much of, I think, what's important about the live music experience is this sharing of energy and this, like, you know, being tapped into a freer side of yourself, you know. I like to just let myself be free and be fully myself on stage, and hopefully that encourages people out in the audience to feel the same way and kind of show up the same way, you know.
I love that. you play with, you know, some of it I can find in just researching you, but some of it I'm sure I will have no idea how many different people, different configurations, different musicians and artists that you collaborate with, and you've watched your father do the same over the years. I'm curious to know how you think about your own artistic identity then, because you do match other people's energy so often. Do you sit and think about that? Well, who is Marcella? Who am I when I'm being my freest self? Yeah. Or is that just natural for you? That's just part of, I'm not a musician. So it seems to me like that would be something you would think about.
You know, it is and it isn't. Like, I do feel like a lot of it is inherent. Like, it was just wisdom that I was blessed with for some reason. I'm not entirely sure why, but it's part of my journey and my purpose. And so I take it seriously, and I really like honor the work and take a lot of care in what I do. And developing my own sound it happened really naturally. In recent years, I've even worked with more intent as far as like really kind of challenging myself. Like, this most recent album that I have coming out this fall is, I recorded all the instruments myself and wrote all the songs myself, and really just approached the album fully from a solo perspective. And in the past, I've always, you know, had the benefit of leaning on some incredible musicians that I've had the honor to work with. And so I kind of bared my soul and revealed a lot more in this new project that I'm working on. And I think that it's an ever evolving thing, you know, your one's artistry and their message. But what stayed consistent, I feel like, for me has been a message of really loving and accepting yourself, because that's a journey that I'm constantly on, you know? Yeah. And so I try to share that through my work.
Vocally, I mean, you have one of my favorite voices that I have discovered this year, and I don't even know who to compare it to. Comparisons kept coming to my mind, but they're not comparisons of how you sound or who you sound like. They're comparisons of other artists that I love, like I love your voice. So they might not be comparisons that make sense to you, but
no, I love that. I would love to know.
Yeah, Annie Lennox, I love her voice, and I'm listening to you and I'm like in that Annie Lennox space. And then there's an Amy Winehouse moment where I was like, oh my gosh, that reminds me how I feel when I listen to Amy Winehouse. And I'm like, I don't know, those are bad comparisons or not.
No, but they're amazing. I'm so flattered.
These women who just own their voices and make me enter a space of my own, I guess, is something. Do you even remember when you started singing and how your voice changed as you grew up? Do you remember coming into an ownership and a confidence of your voice?
I do. I do, actually. I mean, the earliest memories were my parents, but via them, you know, through them and through like video of me when I was, before I was talking, I was singing.
Yeah.
And there's some really funny performance videos of me as a baby really getting into it and just making up words, you know. I really started to find my voice. I started writing songs when I was like 12 or 13, and really like writing songs that, because I was listening to Bob Dylan, I was listening to Amy Winehouse, I was listening to Nina Simone, I was listening to The Clash, The Ramones, Joni Mitchell, like a very, very diverse range of music and artists. And I was shy about my voice, but when I was 16, 17, I had a friend who kind of encouraged me to sing and kind of, I needed to hear it from someone that I, you know, other than my parents, that I had a good voice, you know, or that a decent voice. And so that helped. I really started to stand in my power when I moved here to Memphis when I was 18. I really started to perform out. It was a mode of like, I was almost trying to convince myself that I was enough. And it was a way of creating confidence that maybe wasn't there. I would like face my fear every time I'd walk on stage. It was like, okay, you're going to do this and you're going to do it really well. You know? And it's like, you tell yourself that enough and you really lean into it. The results can be really magical and beyond what you would have imagined, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Nina Simone is another great comparison. Vocally, I just love that. You mentioned Bob Dylan, and I read an interview where you talked about meeting him, and you've met so many famous artists, but something you said in this interview was just that you were overcome with emotion and had to go to the bathroom and cry.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about what do you think, because I think all of us have had experiences where, you know, we meet someone, and it's understandable because they're legendary that you might, you know, fall apart or get nervous a little bit. But also there's something else happening. As you reflect on that moment and sort of being overcome by being in his presence, having dinner with him, what do you think is going on? Because it's about more than being nervous, I think. Yeah. What do you think?
It felt like a lot of worlds colliding all at once. I looked at him, you know, at seeing documentaries about him and up to that point. So I was 15 at that point. So maybe only a couple years of really, really understanding his music and having a relationship with his music. And I felt like he was so uninhibited and free in the way that he wrote. And it just woke up my imagination in ways that other artists didn't. And so it was like, I'd already known him before I met him. And that was that weird sort of like when you're intimately connected to someone's work, sometimes it can feel like you're getting to know them, you know, and it felt like, I don't know, like it was this weird, these two worlds colliding. Like I knew him on such an intimate level. And then to meet him, it was like meeting a stranger, you know, but at the same time, I felt like I knew him. It was just the strangest thing, you know, but a magical. I mean, it was like, I remember the way his hands felt. I remember his sort of aloofness. Nothing really impressed him. He was just very much just like, I'm just here. And, you know, and these people are here around me. And it's like, not anything but being Bob Dylan.
There he is. But,
it was wild. Yeah, that's definitely. I didn't let anyone see my emotion. I just went and like handled it myself, you know.
it was
wild.
Can we talk about some of your recent singles, and then I'd love to know more about the upcoming album. But I was listening to Eyes On, and just released in August, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What a beautiful meditation on being seen, on seeing someone else. It's a love song, right? Tell me a little bit about that song. That's what I got out of my listening, but there's always other layers. Tell me more about that.
I mean, mission accomplished. That was it. You know, I mean, really, really, that's the gist of it, is feeling seen by a partner, your partner, you know, and like after many, many years of maybe not feeling that way and feeling like, you know, one-sided, maybe unrequited love more often than not. And so when I have had that feeling, it's strong, you know, when you feel that depth of connection and communication with someone. With that song and with a lot of these newer songs, it was absolutely mantra based, you know. It's like I didn't worry too much about structure being, you know, the expected song structure where it's like verse, chorus, bridge, verse, chorus, out, you know. It's like I struggled a little bit with writing these different parts, and I thought, okay, well, let me just let this song be what it is. It is this, and this message might be enough. I think it is enough, you know, and like, and I just let it breathe, and I let the words breathe and exist as they are. I think it ended up working out nicely. It's a love song, and Yeah,
it's a jewel. And if you've ever also had that, this is one of the things that I think it does, is the discomfort that you feel when you realize that somebody is looking at you. Yeah. So, and not just a regular person, but as you fall in love with someone and they are seeing you.
Yeah.
And then you're learning how to see them. It takes you into that moment and beyond it by making you consider it. And I think that that's a really powerful part. You said mantra bass, and I think of Sound, which I believe you released in 2023. Am I right about that? Yeah. And this, I had manifesto written down, but it's just so much that you're reclaiming, so much that you're, you know, owning. Tell me a little bit about writing that song and putting it into the world.
Well, it was coming out of that, a really difficult period. During 2020-21, there was a period of great challenge for me, and as it was for so many of us in the world. And I didn't realize until that time, away from, you know, I was playing like 200 shows a year and really, really was thriving on my interaction and connection with the audience. I didn't realize, you know, you don't miss your water till your well runs dry. It's like, I didn't realize how much it fed my soul, and how much purpose I felt from that. And I felt like it was just the rug was pulled out from under me, and I didn't really know who I was, and I had to reclaim and discover who I am away from that setting of being, you know, with people in person. And it was a journey. It was not an easy one to walk through, but the song is, you know, the result of that, reminding myself that, hey, you know, I mean, and it literally was written on a sampler, you know, by myself, because I didn't have my bandmates that I relied on so heavily for so much of my career. So I did it by myself, and then brought in my bassist, who is a great writer and arranger and musician, Landon Moore, and he, myself, and my husband, you know, put it together. And it was a special, another mantra that kind of got me out of the darkness. But I like that manifesto when you said that was great.
I think about the pandemic time and how we want to move past it, and yet we don't want to forget what was lost, what we learned, how we redefined what was important, but then also the healing that needs to happen, which you just can't shortcut. And this is a song, I think, to spend when you're contemplating just that. Tell me, is there a name for the new album and a release date?
Yeah, the name of the new album is long. It's To Bend to the Will of a Dream That's Being Fulfilled.
I love that. I'm all in already.
Thank you. Yeah, and it should be out around October 18th. That's what we're looking at. We had some you know, when you're running your own label and doing all of this yourself, you know, nothing of great quality, you know, comes easy. So we've had a couple setbacks here and there with different things. We're still aiming for that to be the release date. So,
Let's wrap up with a little bit about growing up with your famous father and the parents you had, the music that you were surrounded by, the growing up on stage, the Zydeco, the ancestors. Just this is so much of who you are, too. And I'm curious to know, like, when you get on the stage, are you tapped into that history as well as your own future?
Yeah, I think that is undeniable. Like, I think that so much of what I do and who I am is because of my ancestors, and they're with me every step of the way. And there's a song on this new album where I had a deep, deep communication with a great grandmother of mine through a dark time. And these were strong people that we come from, my dad and I, and they had to live very hard. They lived, you know, off the land, made their own clothes, made their own soap, you know, walked and rode on horseback, and like didn't have doctors. They said prayers. They had, you know, holistic ways of treating illnesses, and they were spiritually very tapped in to the divine. And I think that the way that we work with music is a similar channel to access that, you know, the Most High, the Almighty, the spiritual realm that I think helps to guide us. I feel tapped into that on stage because it's like the ultimate flow state when you're letting yourself be this channel, you know, between the reality of the moment, which is you're holding a microphone, your feet are on a stage, you're physically, you know, in front of people, but there's so much that's happening in this ethereal, you know, plane that is influencing what happens in the moment. You know, it's a little out there way to describe it, but I mean, and that's how it feels. It feels like a very sacred act, you know, that I feel lucky to participate in. And it's to share that with others is just the ultimate gift. I just can't say it enough. And I mean, my dad, my roots in Louisiana, the French speaking Creoles, they were very, very special people, you know. And I carry them with me in through song and in my spirit, and so it's wonderful. I do have a couple songs that I play accordion on, and I just love, you know, interacting with my culture in that way and sharing that with folks like the fine people in Sioux Falls that I cannot wait to connect with next week.
Marcella Simeon closes out Levitt at the Falls Summer 2024 this Saturday, September 14th. South Dakota's John Bakken opens for Marcella Simeon this weekend. He's coming up after a break. You're on listener-supported SDPB. You're listening to In the Moment on SDPB. I'm Lori Walsh. Marcella Simeon is playing out the summer this Saturday at Levitt at the Falls. Now, a headliner like Simeon deserves an equally unique opening local act. Who else but John Bakken's Hot Pockets could get the job done?
It is going to be so exciting. Marcella does like kind of this cool, soulful, like Creole music. It's amazing. I've only watched a few clips. I've never seen her live. I'm just so thankful to be able to share the stage right before she comes on. I'm bringing my Hot Pockets, John Bakken's Hot Pockets, to play some. It'll be like jazz.
All right.
And it'll also, it'll be like jazz, and it'll be like.
I was just affirming you. I was like, all right. That was me affirming you.
Good, thank you.
It was the amen from the audience.
Yeah. Yeah, so the Hot Pockets is like, it's like a jazz group, but I also try to like just do, like I sing some cello folk songs. Yeah. So I'm kind of, it's like in a jazz world, but I'm trying to like kind of stretch out a little bit of what that means. It's also just like a way I can get some gigs with friends that otherwise I've never gotten to play with before. Like I played at Trio, that new jazz club in Sioux Falls, and I asked the violin professor at SDSU to come down, and we did some improvising, and I asked a friend who usually plays guitar, but he brought his giant 70s synthesizer that actually is like the same one that made R2-D2 sound. So the whole thing, it was like, and we're like jamming out together. It was really cool.
Nice.
So this Levitt gig will be a little bit more pared down. It'll just be a trio of some jazz, traditional stuff, and then it's going to get a little weird, and it should be a really fun time.
And we have no idea what's going to happen, and that's why we show up.
There you go. Yeah.
For live music at the end of the summer. Billboard just came out with their songs of the summer list, and I'm just wondering, from a local music perspective, were there any songs that really captured your attention this summer that you want to direct people to? What pops into your mind?
Oh, man. For me personally, on a South Dakota level, I think the Show family kind of won the summer for me. Rich Show
put out
a new album.
There's more things I could tell you, but I do not have time. So much for stepping across that line. So much for stepping across that line.
Self-titled album, that's fantastic. And also Eli Show with We All Have Hooks for Hands. Their band put out just an incredible album called Live from Minneapolis. So both of those were on repeat, I'd say, this summer.
Nice. How about nationally? Anything that you heard on the top chart that you're like, yeah, that's the song of the summer for me?
I mean, come on. It's Brat. I don't know. I can't... It's Charlie XCX. You can't top that. That just dominated it.
I think the apple's rotten right to the core. From all the things most down from all the apples coming before. I spent the apple down symmetrical lines. I want to find us kind of.
I was obsessed with Please, Please, Please.
Oh, yeah.
Obsessed
absolutely.
With that song.
Yeah,
what
Sabrina's
is it,
great.
Yeah, what is it about that song that has me playing it on repeat? I don't know.
It's a real earworm, absolutely.
Please, please, please don't bring me to tears when I just did my makeup so nice.
Can't sing with it. I mean, it's really incredibly hard to sing. What a vocalist.
Yeah, she's really fun. Espresso, another one, yeah, with her.
Oh, I can sing poorly to Sabrina Carter. But wait, Carpenter. Sabrina Carpenter. Tiger Meat, you are going to put it all together in a book for people. Tell us, for the people who don't remember that first conversation where you just like had a stapler and an idea, you have been redefining how we catalog local music ever since.
Well, I mean, that's more than I think I'm doing, but that's a really nice thing for you to say. For a little over two years, I did about 50 different articles interviewing South Dakota artists, or if they weren't alive anymore or unavailable, I did some research and found some old interviews and compiled them and kind of into an article, and over 8 issues, covered, like I said, over 50 albums, and then each of those artists recommend their favorite album, so it's well over 200 albums that are kind of discussed or given shout outs in my big Tiger Meat hardcover collection coming out next week.
Nice.
Woo!
And you got to show up to the South Dakota Festival of Books in the great city of Brookings. I'll be there.
Yeah.
But that's where you can get a copy of this, right?
Come get some Nick's Burgers and learn about some awesome South Dakota music. Absolutely.
What did the project help you understand about South Dakota music that even you didn't understand fully before?
That's a great question. I was trying to be very intentional about reaching across different genres and finding great stuff in the classical realm and finding great stuff in hip hop and rock and folk. I think the biggest thing that it taught me is, even if it's not being discussed nationally or even all that much regionally or across the state, there is constantly amazing music across all different styles happening in this state, people that deserve to be lifted up. And I'm happy to just do whatever I can to try to get the word out about their creations.
Yeah. Will there be more Tiger Meat?
I want to. When I think about the first couple issues in 2021, I remember interviewing Rachel Reese, who goes by her Crooked Heart.
Yeah. Love
and,
that album.
Oh, she's so good. She just put out a couple of new songs too that are just beautiful. She got I believe she got engaged or married and made this fun kind of couple of songs to celebrate that. Anyway, I interviewed Rachel, you know, early 2021, and I remember her saying, well, you know, I don't know if we'll ever be able to perform live again. That was the mood among a lot of artists at that time, where it's like, that was a fun thing I did for a while, but maybe live music is done. So, I mean, that was the kind of where this book started, and thankfully we're not there anymore, as evidenced by this cool Levitt show that I get to play at this weekend, right?
Yeah.
As it's gotten, so that I can be performing more, and there's all sorts more stuff. So I straight up have run out of time to be able to do this project, and I'm trying to figure out the next step. I have made so many wonderful connections between Eliza Blue that I interviewed, and now I've been collaborating with her and Alex Massa out in Rapid City. We have an album recorded, just trying to figure out how to get that out.
Nice.
And it's all because I started talking to these folks, and you know, this is the biggest lesson I would say that I learned from the interviews was when you reach out to a person who's working in their little, you know, creative bubble, and you just say, what you're doing is worth it, and it's amazing. It means a lot to them, and it builds those relationships, and it creates new stuff. You know what I'm saying? That's the biggest takeaway. That was the biggest surprise, I'd say, for this whole project for me, is I've made so many cool collaborators and friends through this project.
I love that. That's good for everyone.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
That's good for the kids that you teach.
That's true, too.
In public schools, it's good for them. It's good for public radio listeners. It's good for the artists. It's good for South Dakotans. And it's good for the rest of the country to hear a little bit about what we're up to, because they don't pay attention nearly enough to the quality, innovation, talent.
I agree.
We have things to say.
I agree.
Return to the city of Afterwall.
And so I'll lay with my head in the snow.
Yeah.
I just discovered this recently, so I have not done a full deep dive listen, but I am enchanted with your basement music.
Thank you so much.
Your basement tunes. Tell me about your basement tunes.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm. These are the tunes that I've been playing with the Hot Pockets, too. So at the Levitt, I've been trying to take these tunes that I recorded in my basement and turn them into, like, cello folk. So I'm kind of – I've abandoned the guitar as much as I can. I'm playing it on cello, and I'm singing. And it's just tunes that I'm trying – you know, I read a lot of graphic novels and sci-fi and stuff. So it's, like, some tunes are about, like, my daughter playing in the sprinkler and suddenly ending up on the moon and interacting with the alien creatures that live there. And there's other songs about an angel that I met at a pizza shop, and then we go on a fly across the city. Yeah.
An angel spoke to me, and I don't buy it one last time. The angel spreads their wings, says just leave your things. Come on, try it once. So I play my pizza down.
So I mean, it's been fun trying to just I don't know, have an outlet for weird creative thoughts.
By the ocean deep, I'll try to be afraid. If you'll be afraid with me.
You can hear John Bakken's Hot Pockets live at Levitt at the Falls in Sioux Falls. He opens for Marcella Simeon. Music starts at 7 p.m. SDPB, by the way, live streams those concerts. You can tune in at sdpb.org/music. And keep an eye out for the hardcover edition of the Tiger Meat zine. It makes its debut at the South Dakota Festival of Books next week.
Drawn in the stars up above, the only one.
That is our show for today. We hope that it served you. Author, inspirational speaker, and Olympic gold medalist Billy Mills is coming to the SDPB studios in Sioux Falls, and you are invited to be part of the live radio audience. We'll open the doors at 11:30 Thursday, September 19th, for an hour with Billy Mills, SD Nelson, and other children's authors. It's all part of our coverage for the South Dakota Festival of Books. I'm Lori Walsh. From all of us at SDPB, thank you for listening.